Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Don't say funny stuff yet. I'm not prepared over here.
Am I on? Oh, there we go. Oh, my God. I forgot. My light's back.
My headphones aren't even plugged in. I'm an idiot.
I didn't know my light was back. I didn't even notice all day.
I honestly didn't even know I had a light until this moment.
Really?
I like that light, though.
So
I think it should be green if it's... I guess red is the kind of the universal symbol for recording. That makes me think of video.
Yeah, exactly. I like them. I think it's a good, but there was a couple of weeks we ended the men's room one Friday, and this one just wouldn't go off. So we were kind of freaked out, and then it was like, don't worry. Like, yours, the light's just not going off. The mic's off. So they were like, we'll fix it this weekend.
Big brother.
So then they fixed it, but then for like a week, mine wouldn't turn on.
Skynet.
So Skynet.
I don't love it, man. I don't love it. Plus that, big rotisserie. Doing their thing. So, Matt, what's going on with Big Rotis?
Well, we got a bunch of tweets. Costco is becoming their own supplier.
All right, hang on. Let's just start it up, and then we'll get into the big chicken.
Okay.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha!
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 234. What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be the host of this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, somewhere on Skype, or actually, no, he's here. To the right of me. He's always here, unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Analysts calling for stronger earnings this dip season as shares of the podcast inched upward. Weather cooled and the clouds rolled into town ahead of quarterly filings this week as Ted and Cobb got their indoor tailgate on, which may have spooked the market. But did the boys flex on passerby from Ted's patio? We'll find out at 6:30.
All right, back there on the wheels of steel, getting the studio all set up, getting the water for everybody. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. I mean, a little sore, but we can talk about that and what's maddening.
All right.
Good story from this weekend. Had an awesome time.
All right, I guess we should just jump right into it. A lot of people on Twitter have been tagging the podcast and stuff. So, Matt, quickly, your beef with Big Rotisserie, I just want to catch people up. Basically, it started as kind of a joke. Your beef with Big Rotisserie is that you couldn't get it after a certain time of day.
Right. I have a schedule. I work at a gym most the afternoon, or I come here on the one day that I'm not working there late into the evenings. And then by the time I would be looking for food, it would usually be like after 9. And that seems to be the cutoff where a little bit before 9, you can get lucky. But after 9, like, good luck finding rotisserie chicken, which I took as discrimination against graveyard workers and people with weird schedules like myself.
All right. I will say, when I used to shop at Whole Foods, they kept a large supply of chickens in there till like 10. But now I've gone back to like a QFC, and the one on Broadway I get to is busy. It's like a 7:30. Those chickens
are
gone.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I hit that Whole Foods because I started in Queen Anne at the QFC. Or no, I started at Metropolitan Market, which they had like rotisserie chicken signs in the elevator and in the hallways. Like, we have the best rotisserie chicken. And I was like, get up there. They're out because they close at 10. And then went to the QFC down the road from there. This is when we were at the old station, and they were out. And then on the way to the other state, on the way to the station, stopped at that Whole Foods, and they were out as well. And I've always started work at 10, so it was all in that 9 to 10 p.m. hour. And then I just, I don't know, it's fun to get mad at big corporations and big industries. So.
Right, so this is how the whole Matt's against Big Rotisserie kind of started.
Well, and I would say it should be mentioned that it's a calculated ploy by Big Chicken to screw Matt out of dinner.
Thank you!
I think it's worth mentioning.
Thank you! I feel like a goddamn crazy person over here.
All right, so we've talked a lot about it. Also, Matt was still buying chickens but cooking them at home, which Cobb and I for a while contended, is that really sticking it to Big Chicken? It's like you're still buying the chickens.
Yeah. Look, exactly. I like chicken. It's delicious, a lot of protein. You can prepare it a bunch of ways. Made a bunch of wings this weekend. Yeah, I have no beef with chicken itself.
All right, so now what happened to Costco? Because I saw people blowing us up.
Well, Cobb's talked about Costco chicken for a while, and apparently they were taking losses on it consistently, right?
I've talked about it for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah. I never knew the rotisserie chicken was a loss leader, or like a thing that they take a loss on to get you in there to buy stuff till you told us.
Oh, I didn't even know I mentioned that. most grocery stores do that with big, yeah, rotisserie chicken. But yeah, I know that Costco loses a ton of money on theirs because they sell them for like $5, right?
Yeah.
The rumor was, I think there's some sort of news article about them spending $250 million to keep the price artificially low on those chickens to get people into the stores. And so before we started, I was just saying that they're looking out for the little guy, a.k.a. us.
By keeping the price low.
Yeah, which is what they do with their food court, too. They usually break even on those items as well.
So to clarify,
which,
Costco.
RIP the Polish dog.
That's gone?
Yeah, man. Sorry to be the one to tell you. It's coming back for November, possibly.
Wait a minute, it's gone? Gone? I thought they just tested that in a few places and it was...
The Polish is gone.
So now it's just a regular hot dog.
But there was a massive, the all beef, 100% all beef, but there was a massive backlash and there's rumors that they might bring it back. The thing is they got rid of it. And so I went to one of their test Costcos on, what island was that? Kauai, and had their barbacoa salad that they were replacing it with. Not bad, but it's no Polish. I'll tell you that. So the Polish, I don't know what was happening with the ingredients. Maybe it was just too expensive with the spice and stuff. And, you know, at $1.50 for that and a can of soda, it's tough to go wrong.
Well, Matt was with me the last time I had a Polish hot dog. Because there was some hot dogs and hamburgers, and I specifically was like at the shower.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going for a hot dog because I never eat the Polish hot dogs. And they are delicious. But, man, you burp up Polish hot dog for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
There's no denying that you ate a Polish hot dog.
Yeah, definitely.
Hot dog burps are the best.
Just sad to see an American icon go, you know?
That is kind of sad. Well, is there any irony in that?
The Polish American icon. Right.
you know, and we're real quickly on burps. It's not going to be something people want to hear because it's not the most delicious thing you think to eat all the time. But I'm telling you, whatever you're eating, just have some cucumbers with it. Reburping cucumber is a refreshment all day long.
I can totally see that. Nice work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like today, like, you know what I mean? Like every salad I get or whatever, like there's a decent amount of cucumber just because it's like, if I'm going to burp something else, like I want that out there.
I feel like that is because some things you don't notice that you don't notice the taste of what you ate before when you burp. Hot dogs are a big one that stick out. But I feel like I might have noticed that somewhere. Like it doesn't sound completely off kilter, but I'm sure I'll notice next time I have cucumbers and burp.
Yeah, because usually it's only like bad stuff you remember re-burping. So I'm saying cucumbers, man. Nice. Best thing to re-burp all day. And I think I learned that eating goddamn Euros.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Ooh, Euros are good. That's a sauce that doesn't get enough mention. Tzatziki sauce.
Yeah, tzatziki sauce could be on a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the thing. Many places in the world, the Euro is the late night food, except they call it a kebab, but it's essentially a Euro.
Yeah, like in Germany, it's all about the doner kebabs.
Yeah, dude, and in Australia, like late-night kebab, I know in Ireland, late-night kebab, like that's like the late-night street meat that people, you know, like even like there's always like drunk people trying to break into kebab shops and stuff. It's like they're like late-night, you know, Dick's Burgers or whatever.
Daddy's Dogs for any Nashville
there
listeners.
You go.
Smith Family Popcorn. whatever it is.
Honeycrisp Apples.
Whatever it is you're munching on at night. Oh, that's pretty funny. All right, so the first thing
what are you munching on at night?
Munching on at night. I was like, Matt knows. There's nothing too excited. I've been munching at night lately.
Yeah, same.
I mean that figuratively and literally.
All right, boys.
You're in.
All right, you know what? I'll be honest with you. So Cobb and I were talking this weekend. We were hanging out a little bit. And Matt and I have talked about it. So, like, I don't want to go too far down the course. I don't want to be one of those people. But I've been trying to eat better and work out more and this and that. So I feel like I crossed the line the other day when I made tuna fish, but instead of mayonnaise, avocado.
Ooh, that sounds really good.
Yeah.
Damn. That is pretty ridiculous. And yeah, actually, like piggybacking on that, what was that? That little story. I don't know. I was thinking about it this morning. Like, so we were talking over the weekend about like the not like, you know, specific poundage, but the fact that Ted actually kind of crossed like a threshold. Matt, you probably know this since you guys like do the nutrition stuff, but I just thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting, especially for like, well, I don't know, just an interesting fact. Ted crossed back over the amount he weighed when he was 14. And what I think is dope about that is like he set a standard for himself and he hit it. And I want people to know who listen that, you know, he's out here practicing what he preaches, man. Like he got it in with Osiris, getting on the nutrition. And so the thing is, what I was hoping is that if people like, basically for people to help support you in this direction, Bernie, I'm thinking of you, Chris, I'm thinking of you back east. You see a hot dog in this man's hand, even if it's a Polish, you slap it out. I'll pay him for it. Okay. I want everybody supporting Ted. I think that's fucking awesome. Honestly, it's huge.
Thanks,
like,
dude.
You, seriously, like that's a major, major accomplishment. I know that's been an issue for you for a long time. We've been friends for a long time, and like, boom, dude, to get down to like 14-year-old Ted, like you're looking slim, you're looking trim. Yeah. Major comeback. Like you got the power back, man.
Try it.
Yeah, got, all the power.
I got two things to add there. Number one, if you see Ted eating a hot dog, you don't need to slap it out of his hands. Just say, "Hey, slow it down there. Enjoy that thing."
Slap. Well, I will see Chris and Will this weekend in Denver.
Savor it.
Chris, I will reimburse you. You slap.
All about eating slow and having the proper amount of gratitude and really appreciating what's going on. But I'll also add, I know Ted's very like humble about it and kind of not playing it up, and that's fine. That's great. But I also think there's a lot of power in your story to inspire others to do the same. And, you know, the fact that you're doing it is just really awesome. So I don't want to, you know, put you on the spot about it all the time or whatever, but it is fucking awesome, and you know it can be done. And the more people that realize that and start making similar changes, I think the better that'll be for everybody. And that's awesome. So
yeah, I want to wait till like I get to a certain point, and then I don't know, maybe a couple months from now or something, and just release like an Instagram video, just like, all right, here's the lab. It's where I've been. Just never talk about it, and then just be overly like, right, like just too much about it.
Just shirtless, like toweling off.
Right, exactly.
Hey, didn't know you were filming. It's in selfie mode.
You guys want to know where I've been? Been in the lab. Plus, I love that term from Fighters. Back in the lab.
Yeah, it is pretty good, dude. I'm just picturing you with like a blender and like a bunch of beakers and stuff.
Well, that's some of the stuff too, man. Like
real scientific.
Yeah, like some of it is like, it's just little things you forget about, right? Like me and Matt always talk about when we talk like once a week, like, man, fruit is delicious.
Whew,
right?
Fruit is so
and
good.
We always joke about
say
like
fruit or food?
Fruit.
Yeah, fruit is delicious.
You know what I mean? And there's a certain point I get if you're a high level athlete, like you got to watch your intake, but like, right, like I'm not there yet. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like eating two bananas at night isn't like how I gained all this weight. So like fruit's good. And then, yeah, I don't know. There's just choices you make all the time. And it's like, God, I'm going to sound like Matt talks about it all the time, but it's very simple in this day and age to make an easy, healthy choice. And it's just as easy and simple to make a bad choice.
That's what that book, The Slight Edge, is all about. Dude, so I do have to ask you one thing. What changed? Because I know in the past, obviously, you've struggled with weight. You've tried to cut it off. Like, why is this time any different?
Honestly, I think that just the nutrition I'm doing with Matt. Like, I've been in the gym, so that's been helpful. And, like, obviously, that helps a ton. You feel great when you lift. But when I first started, like, I wasn't even planning on getting a trainer. Like, I was just using Matt as, like, the nutrition trainer. So I think this time, it seems like it's coming off slower. And, like, they just seem like lifelong habits I can take forever.
That's the thing, man. Best diet's when you stick to. I like that.
Yeah.
It's the name of the game.
Also, doesn't hurt with Osiris barking us down.
No. Right. Trust me. He helps, too. But, no, that was the big difference in, you know, like, last year, man, I was just so lazy. Like, I had moved for the first time in 8 years, and I just didn't do anything. And, like, it got to the point where it was, like, you know, I just felt like, it wasn't like I gained a bunch of weight. I just felt so, like, athletic.
Yeah,
you know, and that's not me. You know what I mean? Like, I can go out and shoot hoops or this and that. Like, I always grew up playing sports, even though I was a heavy kid. So it's like, right, when I got to the point where I was like, damn, like, could I even go pump out a mile? Like, am I that bad of shape?
Yeah, I got you.
Just sitting around a lot at the old place, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, like, that place didn't, and it's not just on the place, but I just, for whatever reason, well, my old place also had a gym in it. So I would at least sneak in some cardio. But man, yeah, just taking a year off, I just felt really like bad.
Yeah, well, dude, that's dope, man. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man. Thanks both of you.
That's great.
All right. Now,
what do we got?
I did go to an NFL game this weekend, though. First thing I want to say was, for years I've sat here on this podcast, like, I'm not the biggest NFL guy. Like, I like sitting at home watching Red Zone, this and that. Man, going to an NFL game is f***ing fun. Like, I had a real good time. Like, we started off at, like, 13 coins. By the way, I haven't been to a game in years. I go to the stadium all the time, right? But it's always for Sounders matches. So I figured, 2 hours before the game, we'll be fine. My buddy, it's like 10:30, 1 o'clock kickoff, 1:15. My buddy's like, yeah, Sluggers is packed, dude. Like, we're not getting in there. So I was like, all right. So then luckily he found like one of the last tables at 13 coins. So when I walk in, this is like 11:10. They're like, it's a 90-minute wait. And I was like, my friend's already in there. And they were like, where is he at? And I'm like, he's back there somewhere. And they're like, all right. I mean, it was like tough. It was like a nightclub.
Because everyone's trying that line, so they're like skeptical of you.
I just forgot, like, with an extra 30-some thousand people, like, the NFL game, right? Like, it is packed. Like, the traffic was, I already hit traffic getting down there. Like,
well, and that's the thing. It's not just people going into the stadium, too. It's a Sunday, and, like, people are, you know, like, the game is, like, a lot of people went to the bar for the game, you know?
Yeah. And I just forgot that level of excitement. You know what I mean? Like,
you feel it.
Like, last year in Dallas, you could feel it. But, I mean, that's Texas, Oklahoma. Like, that's a massive thing. Like, it's just been years since I've been to an NFL game. And I was like, all right. I think I've been judging you bad, but I'm coming back a little bit. Like, this is pretty fun.
Yeah, and this city loves the Hawks, too. Yeah. They've gotten way bigger in the last 5 years.
And the home opener. Like,
the home opener, right? Like, I usually could care less about an intro. Like, I saw those intros. All the fireworks and stuff. And they're firing it off. And, like, I just forgot about the insanity, too.
And the crowd, you know, like, other cities make fun of us for it, but, like, the crowd really feels like an obligation and a duty to, like, be going at 11 the whole time, because the crowd noise has become part of the reputation, part of the environment. So I think that's, like, fed the chaos even more. And, yeah, especially when they're 0-2 coming into it, like, I can just imagine a lot of fans like, I gotta scream my heart out and do my part. And then, yeah, so it looked like it was just an insane atmosphere to be a part of.
Yeah, and like when I was cutting over, right, as we got stuck in traffic down by the baseball stadium, so finally I was like, dude, I'll just hop out and walk. But like the drum, you know, Blue Thunder's out there, because I was like, what are all these
people? Blue Thunder.
Right, and then you walk by like the north entrance and there's just like a rock band out there. I think our buddy Kyle, I think his band was playing somewhere by the stadium.
Kyle Court?
Yes.
Really?
You know Shrek's girl was in Big Thunder for a while too, right?
No.
Yeah, Lizzie?
I already liked her enough because of Soto.
Oh, yeah. She kills it in Big Thunder. Nice. I think she's not doing it this year, but she'll probably be back.
I know she's not because they're in Ireland.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a whole nother story for another day. Her dog is on Instagram. I really like the dog, right? I have other mutual friends, and it's just like when people are like at the SOD things, like, how do you guys know everybody? Like, we're Schwack people. all right. So then the other thing I was going to say, do you think there's I'm going to sound like the fancy a-hole here. Do you think there's a difference between fan interactions the lower you go?
I knew you were gonna go. I thought you were gonna say. I thought you were gonna mention the words club level. Is what you're saying. Fan interactions. Well, you know, my suspicion would be. I've heard for NASCAR events and for horse racing would be like the best example. I've heard for like the Preakness and you know, Belmont Stakes and Kentucky Derby that it's like all social classes are there and they're stratified by ticket price.
Well, right. I mean, Preakness, the people that party in the infield are completely different than the people in the grandstand.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm guessing that like the people in the infield, their like party style is going to be different than the people in the grandstand with giant hats.
Well, basically, we were talking about fights because my buddy that I went with, Greg, he was like, I've heard like Seattle fans can be kind of rough with fights and everything. And I was like, yeah, like I've seen a bunch of fights when I used to come to games. I go, but I've seen the same at like when I would go to Redskins games. So then I was just like, is it just more rowdy up in the 300 levels?
Yes.
Right?
So that's hitting you with a rock pile for when you're in Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the cheap seats at the Cubs Stadium. What's that called?
Wrigley.
Wrigley.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Out in the bleachers. Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, Right. That's that we were just like, so maybe it just, I was like, this seems really like everybody's really nice to everybody down here, but we were on the 200 level and hanging out in the club.
Yeah, sipping white wine. It's not the same as crushing Bud Lights, dude. But here's the thing. I think I might take the 300 section over the 100 people, to be honest with you. I think they're a lot more fun. It's a little more dangerous, a little more hectic and chaotic, but I have a better time.
You mean you'd rather be up there?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
If I'm I thought you meant you'd take them in a fight. And I was
No, of course, dude. I'm not taking anybody in a fight.
Matt's like, yeah, of course.
No, I thought you meant like in a fight between the 300s versus the 100s, you'll take the 300s as in you
think
they're
going to win. Oh, I take the proletariat for sure. And, yeah, no question.
But you're saying you'd rather be up amongst them for the atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also in a fight, they would win.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
Okay.
I mean, you're like bending pipe for a living for like fire sprinklers. Like you're going to beat the hell out of an accountant. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're not.
I just, pushing pencils, you're pushing rebar.
I don't know, right? I was just like, man, everybody seems real nice. And he's like, yeah, well, we're down here. Like with all the fancy people too. I was like, oh yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, dude, I mean, yeah, the non-fancy people are nice, but it's definitely like there's a little more machismo, I would say. You know, more chaotic energy, fun and dangerous.
Well, I've been in some of the suites a few times, and it's, like, very proper, and a bunch of my dad's coworkers, right, very white-collar, but you're right underneath the 300s, and you can just hear the stampede and the madness right above you, and everybody's like, you know, we cheer when it's playing time, but they're just going at it the entire game. It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was kind of the other thing that called me. Like, I know it's loud, but, like when they're... When that 12th man's going, like, you can't really have you can't talk.
Well, and just imagine being on the field, because all that noise channels down to, like, the playing turf, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's crazy to me. It's, like, ear-splitting.
Yeah. Now, I also think it's probably nice that it was, like, Dallas and not, like, Niners.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, there was a lot of Cowboys fans there. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But, like, maybe it's just because it was such a – and it was a beautiful Sunday. Like, the sun was out. You know, it's September in Seattle. Like, so maybe it was just in a great mood, but – Well, granted, I left before the game ended, so I didn't see angry Cowboys fans. But I was like, I don't know, it seems pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of Cowboys fans at Pike Place Market for sure. They definitely traveled.
Yeah, I was telling that story this weekend.
Like, oh, how you can always tell what team's in town by the market?
Right, if you go to the market, you could tell who's playing who.
Uh-huh, definitely. Yeah, UW eked out a win, too, over Arizona State. Pretty legit. Watched the end of that.
Yeah. Was going to say, the Cougs almost got a nice win down there at SC.
Terps got a win, right?
Yeah. Terps got a win over the powerhouse that is Minnesota football.
Boston College lost to, I want to say, Purdue, maybe?
All right.
But, dude, we got to indoor tailgate. That was tight.
Yeah, man. Sausages, a little boudin.
Dude, the little Honeycrisp. What's your little, people know, like...
Cornhole.
Cornhole or bags. Yeah, so Ted has a little miniature version of that in his apartment. So we're sitting there, yeah, cooking sausages and playing corn. It was just the two of us. It wasn't really a tailgate. But then out on his patio, you can just yard bark at anybody who walks by.
And that is the ideal weather for it.
Oh, yeah.
And people are just kind of stunned when you engage them.
Well, see, yeah, we were just chatting with people, but like three more beers, I'm yard barking.
You want to watch a game?
For sure.
Need a Miller Lite? Sausage? Come on in.
My one neighbor, I was like, dude, you want to come over and have a beer? Then he comes over, like he walks away, and I think I said to him, I was like, man, I like that guy, but it's always kind of awkward. So he's like, I don't want a beer. I just wanted to say thank you or like come over and say hello. Like, all right.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just said, nah, I'm good on the beer.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little uncomfortable, but that's all right.
All right, and then another thing, like everybody likes cheerleaders. Are NFL cheerleaders, is that weird anymore?
What about them? What do you mean weird? Do they exist?
Again, it's been a while since I've been to an NFL game, but we're sitting there, and granted, your boys had a few beverages now. I was just like, man, like violence on the field, and we got all these hotties out here dancing. Like, I don't know,
it's so American.
It is. I was just like, is this still cool? Kosher? Like, all right.
Oh, you're saying like the objectification of women on the sidelines?
Yeah, like, I feel like sometimes we just get stuck in these weird, it's like, right, like obviously they're hot chicks dancing. That's
it's an enjoyable tradition.
Yeah, here's what I would say it comes down to the masculine, feminine, you know, dynamic. I think like ultimately football is about freedom. Like, you know, you're restricted or restrained, and then you're like breaking through to freedom to the other side of the line or to a touchdown or whatever. And so that's like where the masculine gets its joy from football. You know, it's like, yeah, like trying to, you know, I don't know, score and get loose and embrace freedom. And then like the feminine, obviously, like they love dancing and doing their thing. So like if they wouldn't do it if they, I mean, they are objectified, but also like they like to dance. We like to watch. I think everybody wins there. You know, even women like to watch women dance. I mean, women are great at dancing, beautiful. Like, I feel like I could see what they take away cheerleaders, but honestly, I feel like it might be a step too far. I think we're all just like, you know what? All right. I think we just, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like what they're talking about, getting rid of the bathing suit competition, like the Miss America pageant.
I thought they got rid of it, didn't they?
Is it officially gone? I'm just like, but it's a beauty pageant. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, what are you going to do? Give them an SAT and just have them like sit there and fill out a form? Like, come on.
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Right. There's something. So that's just like, yeah, like it's cool. Like, I want to see these. Like, they have good routines and stuff.
Yeah, and great bodies. And like, I think there's something about like objective beauty too, you know? And it's just like, look, like that, the feminine form, like, clearly they're the fairer sex. We all know that they look great. Like, let's embrace it and celebrate it. It's not like, I don't know. It's not like they're like compelled to have to do this competition. I mean, I get the objectification argument, but I don't agree to it.
It's a show. It's a competition. They can show off these bodies that they worked so hard on. You know, like they don't look like that without putting in some serious work, and they're competing. Like, yeah, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. They're probably proud of those bodies that they worked hard for, and yeah, I think it'd be fine to be a part of it, but
dude, you ever
I'm
seen
not
that?
Surprised.
I don't know if it's still on, but did you ever see that show that used to be on CMT? That was just about like making the Dallas Cowboys cheerleading squad.
I remember yes. It existing. I didn't watch much of it.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that there's also a DNA component. But yeah, what about that show?
Well, I'm just saying kind of what Matt's saying. Like, that's what a lot of those, like, it means like the world to them to make that squad. Because you're right, they work out so hard and everything. Like, they want to flex.
Yeah. I believe they get paid terribly too, and they have a bunch of weird rules and
oh,
stuff.
Oh yeah, they make like $100 a game or something.
Yeah, it's something absurd.
And they gotta get there early.
Yeah, it's a whole Sunday.
And like, they can't eat. I know one of the teams they can't eat in the same restaurant as a player. Like if a player comes in,
I know they're not supposed to interact, but I didn't realize it was that bad.
That's just one team. I read an article. It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, probably some rule left over from like Miami Dolphins like peak 1970s where they're like. Like, well, we weren't eating together. And it's like, look, you just can't be in the same restaurant as Dan Marino, okay? Like, that guy looks at you and you get pregnant, you know? Like, just move away. Go somewhere else.
Also, like, who cares? I mean, like, that's just the way the world works a little bit, too. Like, the athletes.
They're both employees.
I get it, but it's like the athletes get the, yeah, you get the cheerleaders.
I mean, that's, yeah, dude, that really is.
That's the plot of Nerds.
Dude, that's one of the big downsides of all the sort of like, what's the right word? Like just the advancing like agenda of some of the cultural left is that like if you're too, you know, that's a long involved conversation. But there's if everyone's super sensitive about everything, some things that sort of naturally tend to occur are just like, nope, we can't do it. We got to cancel all the fun because, you know. So it's tough to draw lines.
So that's another thing, right? Like, I didn't realize how wrapped up I was into it. But the NFL is like gets like this polarizing thing, right? But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I was there and like do the anthem and the like, what do they have fly over? Like some kind of military helicopters and this and that. First of all, won't lie. And hopefully Greg's not listening to this. I don't know. I almost shed a tear. Like, I hadn't seen like all the pomp and circumstance in a while. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, God bless America. There's like some moments where it's like, damn,
awesome.
That's how I feel with the freaking Blue Angels, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm against them in principle and as a like military marketing vehicle, but like, God damn. Like, the fact that someone can even just build that and that there's a dude in there flying around, like, I'm sorry. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. So that's the other thing I was saying. Like, I get we all have these thoughts in the NFL, but like, I was looking around, especially where I was in the fancy people section, drinking
liquor. A lot of big hats.
Well, actually, there was
expensive
one.
Expensive liquor.
There was.
White wine. Small dogs, big purses.
Clear purses full of small dogs.
Dude,
it's an NFL game. You got to be careful. I noticed there's a lot of different types of people. I'm like, I don't just at some point, like, can we just get sports just be sports?
They bring people together, they teach you really important lessons
right,
as you're
cares?
Growing up that
right, who cares
translate to
the
real world. Yeah,
what side of the argument you're on or what you stand for. Like, it's like a major thing that happens every Sunday, and you know what? It's fun. Like, let's just go to the game and cheer.
Dude, it's funny that you say that because some guy on a plane like 8 months ago basically talked me back into the NFL with that argument. He's like, look, like it's one of the few things that like the whole city is on board for, more or less. Not the whole, but, you know, it's like it's one of the few things because there's so many different little niches and people are doing different things all the time. It's not like there's like one like World's Fair and the whole city's involved. It's like there's a bunch of different little events, or whatever. He's like, the NFL is like the closest thing we have to like you know, everyone going to church together, or like a, you know, one thing that like the whole city is on for it. So yeah, I think it's a cool unifying thing. So I'm definitely pro NFL in a general sense.
Those two Super Bowl runs, like the lead up to that was one of the most like unified I've ever seen the city.
It's awesome.
Just Seahawk chants all over the place. The buildings are lit up and everybody's smiling and talking about it. And like people are jumping into other people's conversations. Like, oh yeah, I read that article. And it was just like madness. It was super cool to see. And yeah, to me, that was like, well, there's a good side of sports. And yeah, it's pretty resounding.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, but even like this year in the D.C. area, like when the Capitals won, right? Like, you know, like my brother was talking, he's like, look, it's not like everybody around here has been diehard Capitals fans forever. But he's like, it's been so long since anybody's won anything around here. Like everybody joined in and was soaking it in. Like, yeah, we won.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool moment for a city for sure.
Yeah, trust me. The NFL experience, and also like it's Sunday, being hungover at work on Monday absolutely sucks. But you NFL crazies, I get it a little more now. That's a whole thing happening there.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, it's not even just that. Like when you go over somebody's home, like now, granted, I thought it was a nice little indoor tailgate spread, but literally, I cooked some chicken sausages, some boudin, like cut up an apple,
some apples going.
Yeah, I think we had like
a couple beers going.
But, yeah, like. You know what I mean? But like
some rolls.
You look at some people's setup on a Sunday, man, and it is so official.
Oh yeah, like a referee with a whistle, man.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and that like that gives people something to look forward to during the week. Like that's a huge.
That's ultimately why I love holidays, because it gives people something to look forward to and a reason to like stop working, because our society is like so consumer, and of course like the NFL, yeah, that's entertainment consumption, whatever, but just like it gets people to stop for a second and be like, look, man, let's just enjoy each other. Let's enjoy the moment. Let's enjoy some food. Let's come together. And I'm definitely pro any moment that brings people closer together, whether that's a music festival or a Comic-Con or an NFL game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. And like, right, when we go to, I mean, we all go to festivals together, right? And like generally, you don't talk a bunch of politics at a festival. So it's like, right, like why do we have to do that at this NFL game?
Yeah.
And there's always going to be the one smart ass that wants to put a joke in there and, you know, for either side that like can't let it go. But I noticed on Sunday, like a couple of people tried to engage. Other people were just like, no, not today, man.
It's opening day, man.
Right.
Give it a rest.
Right. Like we have other time to get into that.
Yeah. Fans are fun.
I am going to Denver this weekend. My brother and Will will be there. You know that, Cobb, you've met them. Looking forward to it. One interesting thing with some of the weight loss, though, apparently if you have thick thighs, you can still wear out the crotch of your jeans and rip them. So I did that just the other day. So I'm going to have to be careful. Like Denver is weird, too. When I get there, the first day is going to be like 65, and the next 2 days is going to be in the 80s.
Whoa.
So like I'll be all right in shorts, but I'm just like, I'm going to have to be careful with these ripped jeans the first day. Because I'm still short and chubby, so I can't buy jeans off the rack. They have to be
tailored?
Yeah.
Let me hit you with this. But you don't have a car. Uniqlo, when you buy jeans, they'll just hem them for you right there.
I don't even know what that place is.
For free. So it's a Japanese clothing brand, but it's in like most malls.
It's
just unique clothing. But yeah, they're great. They're all over. There's one in Bellevue. Yeah.
But, all right.
Great jeans. In fact, these pants are Uniqlo.
Yeah, because that was like my big, I was like, man, I'd go to the store like tomorrow morning, but I'm just like, I can't get them hemmed in time.
They can do it at Nordstrom Rack too.
Really?
I don't know how fast they'll do it though. When do you leave?
Friday morning. Today's Tuesday.
Yeah, you might. I mean, you can definitely take it to my tailor, and she could do it that fast for sure over on Dexter Avenue North.
All right. But maybe I will.
It's a she? When I went in there, it was a guy.
Well, the guy owns.
And he knew who you were.
He and his wife own the place.
Okay.
Yeah, they live on the. Or they used to live on my floor. Then they moved when I lived there. But yeah, his wife does the actual tailoring. He runs the laundromat.
I gotta say, Cobb, since we're in the complimentary spirit, a lot of times, like. I enjoy when people know that I know Ted. It's a fun interaction. But when somebody knows, when I get to like use you as the common ground, it's an amazing reaction that like I share with. When it's like when I told that Taylor, that was just one of the times where it's like, oh, you know Cobb? we both people just light up. Like, God, that guy's so fucking cool. So,
oh, tight, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
Shout out to my tailor.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Want to read some emails?
Oh, Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do them from my phone then because there's no way I'm logging in that fast.
I am thinking about chicken now.
Mm.
So having the week off, we got just smashed last week, boys, and it's been really screwing up my workflow because I'm all on the same thing. Okay. So I've not pre-read any of these. Here we go. Currently, my favorite building is the Smith Tower in downtown. They have a cool museum before you go upstairs. Then once you get up there, the observation area not only does it have cool views, but there's a bar and food. Dustin and Linwood.
Great name.
What was it?
The Smith Tower.
Smith Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
I didn't know that. We should go up there.
I used to live across the street. Yeah. I'd be down.
Yeah.
I'm in. Sign me up.
Could be fun. Okay.
That's a pretty... we got some time. To the greatest host in all the land.
All the land.
I'd have to say, the most awe-inspiring building I've been in was Lolani Palace in Honolulu. It's often overlooked by tourists that spend their trip in Waikiki. It's the only royal palace in the United States, erected by the last king of Hawaii, Kalakaua. Sorry, Cobb. So, I have no idea how to say it. Who was the first sitting monarch to circumnavigate the world. It was styled after European palaces of the colonial era and even had electricity before the White House or Buckingham Palace. Thomas Edison helped install its electrical systems. Needless to say, it's one of the gems in the entire U.S. that is criminally underrated. It provides such an interesting glance into Hawaiian history. Best regards, Noble.
Wow.
Nice.
That sounds dope.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Another real long one. Okay. We might come back to
I think
that
we were talking about cool places and bars, right?
Yes.
Cool places in general.
All right.
Yours might have been a bar.
I think we were talking about cool buildings.
All right.
Guten Tag, das Deutschland. Cobb is more or less right. If you come to the EU, being an American, you can stay up to 90 days on a holiday visa in what's called the Shenzhen area. I know I butchered that. Sorry, man. I don't have a German accent. Same with Hong Kong and Macau. Going into mainland... Wait, this is very confusing. Same with Hong Kong and Macau. Going into mainland China might cost you $200 for the visa, but most countries, the tourist visa is free because you're spending money on their economy. Speaking of which, you can get flights to Hong Kong from Seattle for $600. It's a former British colony, good way to ease into Asia. Having been to LA, New York, and Chicago, Hong Kong is by far my favorite big city to visit. Been twice, so hit me up if you need recommendations. Cheers to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I'm kind of just...
We're getting some culture
grabbing
today.
Random ones.
Yeah.
Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Ted, I'm glad to hear you're coming to London for the Hawks game. There are a large group of us UK fans having a meetup the night before the game. All 550 of us. Would love to take you up on your offer of a beer, even though you're on my side of the pond before the game. LARP on, Ron.
Ooh.
Oh, I hope that's Ron from Belfast.
Can I tell you his last name or no?
No. Can you forward that to me?
Oh, yeah,
man. TedSmith@KSW.com. Well, there's one guy I've been talking to on my mentor face on my The Ted Smith Facebook page that lives in Belfast, and he's going over to the game.
Oh, because Belfast is Ireland, right?
Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
So he was like,
Sons of Anarchy.
Right. Yeah. Right. They did a whole season in Belfast. Good call. So I know.
Not like, my favorite season, by the way. Those accents were terrible, but
it was also very hard to hear them. He can attest to this. They weren't the best Irish accents, but also for some reason, the whole season was talked in like this level of a voice. So you'd have to like crank your TV, but then it's a show where they shoot people, and then you'd be like, God damn, it's too loud.
Yeah, I hate how they do that with commercials too, where they'll make them way louder.
Yeah.
And Charlie Hunnam's accent, which is Geordie, a Geordie accent, which is over there, like really came through on that season, and it lingered for like the next three seasons.
Yeah.
It was really weird, because like when I just... My first experience with him was as Jax, and he didn't have any hint of an accent that I picked up on, just like a unique voice. And then in that Belfast season, he started sounding like he was from over there. And I was like, it's Geordie, it's not Irish. And then he just had it the rest of the series almost.
That was the same thing with like Narcos. Like, I'm not from South America. So I was like, oh yeah, that's an accent. But I guess the dude was Brazilian or something. He wasn't Colombian. So everybody that lived down there was like, that's a terrible accent.
The guy who
like,
played...
Who played Pablo Escobar, yeah. Right? They were like, nobody would believe that accent.
Yeah, the Irish accent's tough to do.
Yeah.
I feel like the English is doable.
The English is doable, right?
Aussie is definitely doable.
Right, but Irish is tough. And then most people only ever go, oh, top of the morning to you.
Yeah.
But that's about it. And honestly, like,
about jigs.
If somebody has a like a deep brogue, it's hard to understand a goddamn word they're saying.
Oh, yeah. That's what Rowan was saying. He said, if you meet my friends from Ireland, you won't understand a word.
Yeah. I am a little worried about getting drunk in London and slipping into a bad London accent just because I'm around all those people.
You would totally do it, too.
I know,
would do
it,
too.
I wouldn't mean to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, when you're around it, though, you, like, think at least you say, like, some of the regional diction.
Just,
you're
like, one mate.
I always find myself saying mate, yeah.
Yeah, or I'm on the piss.
Yeah. Dude, we should do that. Fuck it, man.
Right, just be those guys.
Yeah, just post up.
I mean, look,
hard.
There's no chance that I'm not going to stick out already, kind of thing, as the American. Like, everybody knows all the Americans over for the football game.
God, dude, I wasn't even going to tell you about this, but we went to, in Austin, we went to Chicken Shit Bingo. Sorry, Matt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where the chicken walks around and where he poops is like the number?
Yeah. And so we had some friends in town, a mutual friend of ours. And so also Rowan was with us. And for people who don't know, he's from Dublin, right? So this guy comes, hears the accent, overhears it, comes up and starts talking to him. Like, the guy's probably pretty drunk, but like well-dressed, starts talking to him with his own Irish accent, like trying to make it work. And it was terrible, like laughably bad. But the guy was super serious and trying to like impress this girl he was with. And it was like one of the most uncomfortable conversations I have ever been privy to. Oh. And it was like 10 minutes, man.
No, I'm just more worried about sitting in a bar or a pub and then just somebody be like, are you doing an accent? I see, I just did it right there. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to. I'm just around all you mates. I'm getting fired up.
Oh, Mike, damn it. I'm sorry. See, two different accents, even just in that one. It's impossible to do. You got to go Aussie or English. The Irish, yeah.
Maybe I'll just go full on. Like,
go Scottish?
I was going to say just Texas. Just like, hey, partner.
Yeah.
Texas Ted makes a comeback overseas.
Big Texas Ted. It's always got to have big in front of it. And
London.
When you write it, you capitalize B-I-G.
God, I should bring my cowboy hat.
Jeez. You'll polarize people. You'll make a lot of friends and you'll make a lot of enemies. And sometimes that's the move. You know, like they won't look past you. That's the good news. Happy September and Street Apple Month to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I follow the path of philosophy, so I did want to take a short stab at the dream theory you guys were talking about, which was, if a dream seems real enough, how would you know it was a dream? It's fairly simple. Okay. Reality has, well, that's not really technically what we were saying, I guess, but okay. So reality has universal principles that a dream state would not, like the law of gravity. For example, if you lucid dream, you can fly around like Goku, but you'd have to have different results if you were awake and tried taking off from the Space Needle without a jetpack. That's true, but what we were saying is in the dream, there are things you believe to be true that obviously are only in your mind, and gravity could very easily be one of those things. Null hypothesis. How could you disprove the theory itself? In short, if you're reading this and we're all listening while in a dream state, there must be a reality where your body is located that is hosting the dream, in which case when you do wake up to that reality, and if said body is also a dream or simulation, what reality is above that? And so on. It can literally go on forever, Matrix style. Exactly, man.
That's what
turtles all the way down. It's like a Russian nesting doll. That's the issue. And it's really just a circular consciousness. Along the same vein on the cop topic is luck. I don't believe there are ethereal forces that control your future, but I did think of a quote that might prove useful. Your mindset and your actions determine the luck you have with the hand you're dealt. Go Team Sailgate, fellas. Bacon.
I like that quote.
Yeah, and I agree with him on that. Sometimes, too, like, how should I explain this? You know, like if somebody gives you something and says, hey, hold on to this, it's good luck, right? But let's say, you know, the time after you get it, like some weird things happen, like doesn't seem like things are really good luck side. But who knows? Maybe you had to go through those weird actions so that you can get on better on the other side.
And look, man, I'm with you. You know how they have those little magic reader guy, like the Zoltan thing where it's a little dude's like bust in a glass case.
Oh, for 25 cents?
What? Yeah.
For, yeah.
Well, I paid $75.
Well, I was gonna say it's 2018. It's not a quarter anymore, dog.
Yeah. Inflation's a bitch.
Sure, the fortunes were cool in '95, though. So I got one yesterday. It was really interesting. But yeah, so I'm with you, man. I was like walking by it, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm having an interesting day. I'll throw a couple quarters in this thing. Let's see what Zoltan has to say for my future. Things are looking good, boys. Zoltan basically said I'm going to get laid soon. So that's the good news.
Nice.
Yeah. Shout out to Sultan. You want to do one more?
Yeah, get one more in there.
It's my favorite time of year. The greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Discussing produce. I get to work with a lot of Washington farmers, and I'm always amazed at what some of them spend to get the latest and greatest product. I was at a place earlier this summer that spent $10,000 on a new type of potato. I don't know what type of apple Cobb was talking about, and I haven't heard of Firecrisp, but the Cosmic Crisps are definitely out for purchase.
Cosmic Crisps?
Yeah. Cosmic Crisps.
Jesus.
Crisps are a different kind of apple. Easy. Easy.
The Cosmic Crisps. Cosmic Crisp, I have definitely seen out.
What about the Cosmic Bloods?
I don't hang in that part of town.
The next new line to keep an eye out for are the Sugar Bees. They're half Honey Crisp, half unknown due to open cross-pollination. They're supposed to have a higher sugar content than a Honey Crisp at harvest. They started showing up in a few places last year, and they planted more trees this year. So hopefully you can find some locally. Love you guys. XOXO, Dom. I believe the Honey Crisps, or maybe the Cosmic Crisps, can only be planted in Washington State.
Did you guys ever have a grapple?
Grape apple?
Right. So that was the whole thing. And I had one, right? And I was like, and they were super expensive. You only got four of them, right? And
how much?
Own little plant. I forget. Just like an amount that was like, this is
obscene.
Yeah. But then I realized.
You've seen that in the club level?
Yeah. We could buy liquor up there, and we have the finest assortments of cheeses, wines, and apples. You know, it's even funnier because you know when he says we had some apple, like we were in sausage on Saturday. And I was like, hang on, let me slice up an apple for us with it. But then I found out these grapples were just regular apples they were injecting with grape juice.
Oh.
What? So it was like super good because it was like, but it was like, no.
It was a fraud.
It basically was. Yeah. It was like we're one step away from this being straight up candy.
Dang. Could you?
Wow.
Oh, never mind. Yeah.
Is that good on emails? Because before we get to Matt, I do want to preface one thing. Yeah.
I mean, we can go deep.
No.
We
we're good on
10
emails.
More. Yeah. Okay, good.
It's just to my brother and my buddy Will, because I will see them this weekend. We are going to an Oktoberfest event. Is it just hot dogs you're slapping out of my mouth?
Smack that dog.
What if it's a sausage?
Smack that dog. Look, man, I have a bounty out on anything that's elongated in a bun.
It's harsh.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's only harsh because those two guys are gonna listen to this before they
Chris,
land.
Chris, I will Venmo you tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'll eat a salad or a chicken sandwich or something. But
add some of the good and slow down with the red lights.
You're just gonna have to be sneaking them in like the porta potty or something. The SWAT team's in town, baby.
This one guy's been in there forever. Like, leave me alone.
I hope you go like to get it from the vendor, and Chris is like, SWAT team.
I'm glad you said that now, so that will be funny all weekend.
It's a mini one. You're talking to like some beautiful girl in like her dirndl, you're in lederhosen, just like hot dog gone.
Like I'm finally making some En-ROADS. This is great. Yeah. How are you in Denver? Me and my friends are getting sausages. Yeah, I like sausages. And just
Chris just comes up and just big leagues you. He's like, Ted, we'll be over by the stage.
It's like bring your mug. What do they call it? There's Stein. Bring it, right? He just smacks it away. Bring your Stein.
Yeah. Sorry, Tanya. That was the first German name I could think of.
I have to go now. My brother smacked the sausage out of my hand, which also sounds horrible as I just said it. All right, let's see what's maddening.
Hey,
what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening,
hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Oh, I love that intro. You guys sound so cool. I sound like such an asshole on it. But this weekend, well, we missed 2 weeks. The first week we met weekend since we've been back, my brother got married.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a dope wedding, dope rehearsal dinner, saw a bunch of family. It was tough to sneak off and go smoke a spliff because everyone there fucking knows me. but it was a great ceremony. We dodged the rain for the pictures beforehand and the ceremony, and then it started coming down pretty good during dinner.
But what kind of dinner is served at a wedding in your family?
Oof. There was like a buffet. There was all sorts of stuff. All
right.
Meat, pasta, salad. Yeah, just kind of a wide variety. They had a s'more bar to go with the fire.
All right.
And yeah, that was good. The cake was really good too. Man, I don't remember the name of the place that Danielle's dad works, but I had the best eclair of my life at the rehearsal dinner the night before. Her dad works at a bakery. I think it's in Rainier Beach or something.
All right.
But their ratio of custard to bread or whatever you want to call it, or pastry, was way more custard. And the chocolate was amazing, too. So it was, yeah, that was a highlight. I mean, you know, beautiful ceremony and families coming together, too. But, man, that eclair at the rehearsal dinner.
Hey, my cousin Dan's wedding, great time. The rehearsal dinner, they had a private, brick oven, like the guy tows around. It was awesome.
Yeah, great
stuck out.
Great pizza and pasta that night too. So, yeah, it's funny because weddings, like, a lot of people get excited about drinking a lot for free. But I'm just like, man, they always have such good desserts there, and like the food's always good. So that's where I really thrive. Those cake pops at Aaron's wedding were so good. I still can't stop thinking about them. But that's here nor there. It was a good time, and got to see a bunch of like. Old friends and family that I hadn't seen in a while, that it was one of those things where there's so many people that you don't get to spend enough time with all of them, but it's still fun to see them. So,
yeah,
it was great. And it was, I mean, I would say that was the most lit dance floor I've ever been on at a wedding. Damn. Luke did a damn good job of making sure that the DJ addressed early on that if we wanted to make Luke's special day the best it could be, we would all be dancing. My uncle, who did the ceremony, mentioned it. Luke mentioned it when he did the speech thanking everyone for coming before dinner. Like, we all knew when that music starts, we got obligations to fulfill. And we're going to have a damn good time fulfilling them. So nice. We did. And, yeah, it was just an awesome wedding. Not just because it was my brother, but, like, the dance floor and the food and the desserts. Like, it was just a great day. So, yeah, congratulations to Luke and Danielle. I can say this. Video messaged me from their honeymoon in Costa Rica, and he was like, "Hey, I got some weed down here, and I've never rolled a joint before." And he like, I thought he wanted me to walk him through it over Skype or Facebook Messenger. And I was like, "This is gonna be tricky." Like, but then he flipped over the camera, and he'd already rolled one, and it was like it looked smokable. It wasn't, you know, an all-star or anything, but it was his first one. And I was,
smokable works.
Yeah, and he gave me
right.
I thought he was calling for step-by-step instructions, and I was like, oh, man, this is such a big responsibility. Like, I got to do this right. He's on his honeymoon. I should be able to walk him through this. And then he, like, flipped the camera and was like, does this look good? And I was like, oh, man, that made my life so much easier. Yeah, it looks great. Enjoy, dude. Yeah, so
smoke him if you got him.
Yeah.
So why are you sore this week?
What? Oh, dude. So Friday night, I went to, I think Tavis and Andrew are going to be in on the Migscast coming up soon to talk more about this, but it's the Jun Fan Gung Fu Institute, which Jun Fan is Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee is like martial arts that he developed being taught by his best friend.
Jeet Kune Do is what he developed.
That came after the Jun Fan Gung Fu. The differences between the two, I tried to look into them more afterwards, and it got very, like, confusing, and it was like...
Yeah, and purists and whatever.
Yeah, people were arguing on the internet about bullshit, so I was like, whatever. Like,
rise above.
The guy who runs the school was Bruce Lee's best friend. There's pictures of them, like, you know, doing martial arts together. This is the only school... Bruce had three schools, and this was the only one that he kept open before he died. He closed the other two. And talked to his best friend, and he was in there, like, kind of overseeing, because he's, like, 93. And his son, Andy, who I believe will be on the Migscast coming up soon, it was, like, running the class, so to speak. And it was just so incredible. Like, the simplicity of, like, the way that things would kind of click into place, and they'd talk about, like, the positions. They're like, well, if you do this, he can just do that. And then they demonstrate, and you're just like... ready to get turned or socked in the face or something, you know, and they just, like, expose that. It's like, wow, there's so much to consider and, like, everything and the equation is just constantly shifting, and it was very, very cool to take part in. And everybody was super helpful and friendly. So we worked on, they do 1-inch punches like nobody's business. Like, I got 1-inch punched by two guys and flew backwards both times. Just, they know what's up. I had to like practice a 6-inch punch and could barely make the guy budge at all. So they know what's up. But I wasn't there to compare myself to the guys that do this all the time. I was there to do the best of my ability, and I succeeded. And one of the guys who was working with me on some kicks was, he came in a little later after I made it announced that this was my first time ever doing any sort of martial arts as an adult. And he thought I had some experience, but he was still very helpful. He's like, oh, this guy, he thought I had some experience and like knew how to hold a pad or like knew what to expect when he went to demonstrate a kick on me to like show me what he was trying to get me to do, which I found out like I liked going second, like because it'd be like partner up. Okay, why don't you start with the moves? I liked going second better because then I could watch them do it up close and personal while I was the guy doing it. But this was before that. And so anyways, he's like, here, like this. And he hands me the bag and I hold it. And he just like, you know, lifts his leg up and just sends one to me. And it sends my forearm, which is holding the bag against my rib cage, like further into my rib cage, which is still like, yeah, just a little tender. It might be bruised or something. There's not much you can do about the ribs, but it's a badge of honor for sure. But it like sent me backwards into more pads. It was pretty, pretty powerful. And you know, yeah, oh, that hurts a little bit, but it's like, holy like I was just blown away by what these dudes were capable of. And like Tavis, you know, Ted is,
yeah,
he's my size, maybe a little smaller, if anything. And like, yeah, he was. I mean, the way that when he wanted to punch me, it just sent me. So it's like crazy what the human body is capable of with this kind of training. And I just had an awesome time. But I did get a little bit of tender ribs afterwards. So I'm still.
It's good martial arts training.
Yeah, it's worth it. And like, we did like wrist bone, like forearm bone conditioning beforehand to like, before we did the punches, because you have to like, you know, get the bones kind of. You know, you're like working out your bones essentially by like kind of doing some wrist taps in a controlled manner to warm them up. And I was like, holy, like I conditioned muscles with people, but I never even thought about
that.
Yeah,
like old school boxing, you got to go do your push-ups on concrete before you can come in and hit pads.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Muay Thai, they have a similar thing. They kick rubber trees, I think, or bamboo.
Yeah.
To get their shins to get, you know, thick and grizzled.
Yeah, and so it was just it was an amazing experience. I had so much fun, and they had, I mean, I could tell I just got like the tip of the iceberg. I mean, they had like swords on the walls and nunchucks laying around and stuff, but it was just unreal how supportive and friendly everyone was, but also like what they were capable of, and the fact that you're like directly in Bruce Lee's lineage experiencing this. Like, wow, what an intro to martial arts. And yeah, I learned some cool stuff. So that was really awesome. The rest of the weekend, my girlfriend got LASIK on Saturday, so was just kind of helping her bounce back from that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, now she's got like 20/15 vision, and
damn.
Yeah, so I had the goggles on and everything. And
I expect next softball season, she's ripping seeds. She can see it that well now.
Let's hope so. So yeah, that was pretty much weekend. It was super low key because my girlfriend just had LASIK. And yeah, we got out a little bit, but it was mostly like, all right, cool, well, enjoy those goggles and take a nap. And yeah, so I was just hanging out, studying, and yeah, I had a great little relaxing weekend after the chaos that was all summer.
Nice.
Just nonstop. Yeah. So yeah, it was great laying low, and Friday night was really, really something cool. So
awesome. All right. I gotta get back into some kind of martial art. Well, I'll get there.
I bet Osiris knows something. I'm teaching some stuff that's like we don't even know about, you know?
Well, there's only one other guy I ever see hit the bag in our gym, but it's almost like he's training for something.
I feel like Osiris would be on. I was going to try to do it. Never mind.
Yeah, there's only one other guy I ever see hit the heavy bag, but when I see him in there at nighttime hitting it, like he's wearing boxing shoes. When he rides the stationary bike, he keeps his arms up, you know? So I'm like, he seems like he's legit training for something.
Yeah, Osiris would be on Grav Makra. And you're like, Grav Makra? You mean Krav Maga? I'm like, no, no, no. Grav Makra.
All right, I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
I shouldn't even be saying the man's name.
I know, let alone hypothesizing.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a death wish?
Damn it. I'm sorry, Osiris. I'm sorry.
There he goes again.
I know. Every time he brings it up, I got to go in there and say, hey, dude, we brought you up again. Just a heads up. I don't want this getting back to him.
Yeah. You don't want to get back. I don't want to get it back to him, man. I don't want to get.
It's just going to be weird when we find you that one day in that alley. Like, he always liked alleys, but he never thought that Osiris or Juicy J would be down there.
Grav Makra took me down, dude. So we were talking about apples last week, obviously.
Hell
we're in
yeah,
apple
we
season.
Were.
Don't worry, we're not going to talk about them again. But I was supposed to bring one in from my dad's tree. I picked it this morning at 6 a.m. for you guys. I left it in my truck when I walked up here. Sad, but it is what it is. The question this week, Cobb topic, is obviously we like talking about apples. What topic could you talk about for hours? Hit us up on the email machine or Twitter. What topic could you talk about for hours?
I mean, you saw it Saturday. I could sit there and talk about college football and traditions. Matt put it best. He said, watching college football with me is like watching a pop-up video.
Yeah.
He's like, there's just little fun stats that keep coming at you. Or like, oh, did you know this? Did you know that? So, like, I mean, I could sit there and do it. And, like, there's people I meet, like Sheldon that works here, right? Shout out to the Smiths. Like, he's from Oklahoma, right?
Rare name.
Right. Well, there's not too many of us in Oklahoma.
You guys have a tower, right?
We do. So apparently, there's a cool bar and restaurant up top. You get drinks. But as soon as he started working here, I noticed he would wear like Oklahoma stuff all the time. So I'm like, you an Oklahoma fan? He's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So finally, like, I think it was like a couple weeks ago, he was just like, man, like, I'm from a place that loves college football. He goes, you love it. He's like, you know more about the state. And he's like, how many of these games you been to? And it's just weird. Like, on Sunday I was doing it. I started rattling off the stadiums and everything. It's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, oh yeah, I do. And then like, also like how, like that, Saturday, like, afternoon, watching college football, eating some good food. Like, that's a very happy Ted Smith. Like, we could chat about.
Oh, yeah, that was fun as hell.
Yeah. We could talk about Smokey, the actual dog down for the Volunteers, or, I don't know, Chip the Buffalo that shot himself in the nuts.
Chip.
From the university.
That was a good video. That was hilarious.
From Colorado.
Dude, it is little throwaway comments that you make. Like, they'll show a trophy, and he's like, that's not even the real trophy. Like, what do you mean it's not the real trophy? He's like, nah, they have the other one locked in the vault behind the library. He's like, dude, this is like South Miami State. And you're like, well. Like, it's little throwaway comments.
Yeah, so college football, I could easily talk about college sports for a long time.
I would say nutrition and fitness. I mean, just because I do talk about it for hours every day with a variety of people. And I can talk to one person about it for multiple hours, too. I don't claim to know everything, but you can't know everything. In the science, there's so much research that contradicts itself or contradicts a different study. And you don't know all the variables and stuff. And it really comes down to taking an individualized, like, curious approach where you're in control of, and your goal is to find what's going to work for you long term. And how that, like, all the possible ways that you can do that in both realms can take me hours if I'm having a conversation with people. And I just remember at Pain in the Grass, the first night I got an extra pair of tickets that I gave to one of my buddies who I started at LA Fitness with as a trainer. And I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And as Anthrax was playing, we talked through their whole set. His friend just walked away. It was like, well, you guys got this. And we were just, like, nerding out on fitness and, like, all the different ways, like, how our jobs are so cool and what the body's capable of. And, like, we just went and we're just exchanging information. And it was, like, it didn't stop until his friend came back because he was done watching Anthrax because their set was over. I'm like, oh, well, we just talked about fitness all the way through Anthrax. But we could have kept going, so... Yeah, and, you know, like, it's just something that I'm super infatuated with. I think it's awesome. So it's not like, yeah, it's not something that I'm upset about talking about all the time. But you get a lot of people coming up and being like, what do I do? What do I do? And then it's like, that's a deep rabbit. There's a million possibilities. Where do you want to start? So, yeah, I'd say fitness and nutrition, I definitely spend a lot of hours talking about.
That makes me think, do you guys remember that movie Pain and Gain with Mark Wahlberg and The Rock?
Yes.
Yeah.
The opening scene when he's like, Like if you just insert your name in there, it's like, my name's Matt Koch, and I believe in fitness.
Dude, that's a great call.
Yeah.
All right, well, there you go. There's episode 234. If you see me down in Denver in the beer garden, I'll be the guy crying over a slapped sausage from his hand.
Slap that dog.
Slap that dog. God damn it. You know what the other problem is I know those two. They won't admit they've listened to it, and they'll buy me one just to slap it out of my hand. Just to make a scene in that beer garden. I know they will.
Oh, I hope
so. Oh, God. I mean, I just can see it now by Friday night at like 10 o'clock. Like, oh, yeah, you're the guy who got his, like, yeah, yeah.
You saw that too? The whole band saw it, man.
Wow.
Everybody in Denver saw it.
All the Oktoberfest cheerleaders saw it, man.
Ted Smith, you've been signed up for the sausage eating contest. Just so I'm on stage when they can do it.
Yeah.
All right, but there you go. There's episode 234 for FCTP for Cobb. I'm the Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!